Byron Hebert was that employee, the firm partner who didn't think it was a good idea to take vacation that lasted more than a week. Know any coworkers who are like that? I know I do. I'm Neil Amato, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. On this episode of the J of A podcast, hear more from Byron Hebert, Director of Entrepreneurial Advisory Services at PKF Texas. Byron's approach was similar to one many of us take, that there will be too much work when we return, or that maybe if we're gone too long and no one misses us, we become obsolete. That all changed for Hebert when he got an invitation from a friend in the United Kingdom. Here's my conversation about that life-changing 2011 trip and more with Byron Hebert.
Byron, thanks for being part of the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Neil.
Research has shown that, at least in the U.S., workers are taking fewer hours of paid vacation. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think that's a U.S. culture thing that that is slowly changing over time. I see it in our firm and in public accounting in general that we see staff members taking more vacation, and we encourage them to use their vacation and recharge.
In a previous discussion with me, you used the term life-work balance. Most people say it the other way. Is that intentional on your part to emphasize life?
Yeah, absolutely. We use that term at our firm. We talk about life-work balance because in public accounting, it's easy to get too engrossed. And if you have a good culture, like PKF Texas does, people want to be there. They want to work there. It's part of their social scene. But there is, life happens, and we want certainly our staff members who have family and children to enjoy that. We don't want to be considered a sweatshop or someplace that people can't have that balance of life and work. And I think that's a game changer for us. It's been a game changer for us in recruiting.
So people these days, they feel the need to stay connected to the office. They have their smartphones. They can always check in. They can always be replying to email. But can someone truly feel refreshed if they're checking and responding to email every few hours while they're supposed to be on vacation?
No, I don't think they can. I don't think they can stay refreshed, and I don't think they can experience life-work balance. You've got to turn that phone off from time to time. There was a firm in London that I heard of called Cooper Perry, and they've got an amazing culture, and it works for them and in the area they're in. In fact, their dress code was wear something. That's how complicated it was. And they actually had a procedure or process in place that no one could text or email between the hours of 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. And if they did, they were called out and they were penalized with real dollars. And those dollars later went into a party or a happy hour or charity or something like that. But the point was, unplug, get away, and refresh. Otherwise, you can get burnt out pretty quick.
Let's talk some about the reasons that people justify not taking vacation. For example, if someone says to you, if I go away for more than a few days, there's too much to do when I get back. I mean, what's your response to that?
Well, that may well be true, but I would say delegate. I would say learn to delegate. I would say that you know, it's not a touchy-feely thing. People consider vacation and time off and things like that one of those touchy-feely issues that statistics and time have proven over and over that people are more productive when they unplug and get away for a while. And so this is a business decision we've made as a firm to have people unplug and get away, and we've found that it's worked very well for us.
And there are some other business reasons. I mean, vacation in some industries or sectors is required.
Yes, in banking it is required, and not a bad idea in your accounting department to get people away for 2 weeks so people can see what else is going on. Cross training would be a good thing. It would keep that from happening. People come back to work and they've got too much to do. I think it's an excuse. I think people use it as an excuse not to get away, and when I hear that, I think of fear-based. People are fearful of their jobs, fearful of what may happen if they go away and if they find someone can live without them. Well, that's just life, but I do think that it is important for people to to have that time off.
Some people will say, I've never taken a vacation longer than a week. Were you once that person?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I was for many years and for all the reasons you've listed before. Too much to do when I got back, afraid that they would not miss me, and then I would not have a job. All fear-based that actually tends to perpetuate itself. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because I can tell you that people are a lot more interested in folks that have something else going on in their life than just work. And as a leader in our firm, I find that with the younger people I work with. Tell me what you've been doing. Tell me what's happening in your life. And if they're all constantly saying, I'm grinding, I'm here, then I think there's something going on here that we need to look into.
So let's talk about 2011 and the somewhat, I guess at the time, unusual vacation request you put forth, I guess, to your fellow partners.
Right. Yeah. I had the opportunity through a friend of mine, a British friend of mine, and the Brits, by the way, are much better at taking their time off than we are, approached me about taking 6 weeks off and sailing across the Atlantic. I'm an avid sailor, love to sail, but never done anything like that. And knowing him the way I did, I knew that, you know, I'd be safe. It'd be a great trip. And so my first reaction was, no, there's no way I can get away. No way my wife's going to like this. No way my partners are going to go along with this. And as I approached my wife about it, she said, yeah, if you get a chance to do that, you should definitely do it. And then I approached my partners, and it was the last part of the year. It was around this time of the year, actually, almost to the day in 2011. So it's a slow time of the year for us. And they said, well, sure, yeah, you should do that. You should take that opportunity. And so as all the roadblocks got and I ran out of excuses, I took it. And it was truly life-changing. It was a great trip. And I'm so fortunate and glad that I took that opportunity.
And shameless plug here, in the Journal of Accountancy, we did actually write about that with a photo of you on the boat. The headline was The Business Reasons to Take a Vacation. But there were some pretty cool photos of you on a boat, I guess somewhere in the Atlantic.
Somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was great. And you know, there were people that I hadn't talked to in years that called me up. Everybody gets a journal if you're a CPA. And they were calling me up and saying, is that you on the front of that boat? And yes, it was.
So how has that trip changed your outlook, not just on vacation, but on just a lot of things and how you approached your job after you came back?
You know, taking a trip like that was an adventure. It was quite an adventure. And getting away and unplugging and thinking about really, you know, at the time I was in my early 50s, what do I want to do with the rest of my career? And frankly, how quickly can I get back on the water and do something like this again? I really started changing and looking around for things to do. I looked at investing in some other things that maybe wouldn't take my time so I could sail more. And ultimately, I stayed with the firm. I did find some projects that came up literally in the next year in 2012 that before that I may have said, you know, this is not in our wheelhouse, but I took them. I took those opportunities, and they turned out to be great projects for the firm. We started expanding our consulting division quite a bit. That took off because I started to play to win instead of play not to lose. And in a lot of cultures and a lot of companies, fear of failure in front of your partners keeps us from taking some risks sometimes, with the risks that we really should take with our business. And so I started taking those risks, not afraid of the consequences anymore, because if something did happen, I was going to go sailing. So it turned out in the best way, because it won. It's a win-win. I was able to get some new projects. I'm now the chief growth officer of the firm, one of the three guys that are running the firm. And so it's worked out really well for me taking those chances.
So you're 5-6 years from retirement. Is that the plan?
Yep.
But still,
we're actually 4 years, 2 months, 3 days, and a few hours, I think. No, I'm about 4 years away, 65.
So, but you plan to do some sailing before then. You still plan to take kind of a longer trip?
Oh yeah, we've sailed just about every year in the Bahamas. We rent boats from moorings. We've sailed the Sea of Abaco. We've sailed British Virgin Islands. I'm trying to think of the Belize. Next May, we're going to Nassau, Bahamas, and sailing around the islands there. So we sail every year now. We take a trip, make sure, and we have friends that love to go with us, and it's really always a lot of fun.
And the we in this case is you and your wife?
My wife, yes, Cindy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Are there ways that professionals, really in any field, not just accountants, can set proper boundaries before they go on vacation?
What do you mean by that?
By establishing, I am not planning to be contacted while on this trip.
Right. Oh, I got you. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, we adopted a policy, especially for shareholders and the directors below the director level, that when someone's on vacation, we're not to contact them because that is their time. And we've extended that now to when they're not in the office. If they're out of the office and they're out of office is on, we're not to contact them. And so that's been a bit of a game changer, too, because we do have shareholders and directors that get close to their administrative people, and they call them and need things or something about tomorrow they want to talk to them about, and we stop that. So, yes, I think boundaries are important. Realistic boundaries. I mean, there's always things that come up, especially if you're dealing with in the service industry. You've got to be somewhat flexible with that. But again, that goes back to planning. And is there other executives on the team that can handle something when you're out of the office? So delegating, educating the staff below you, you know, the reality is in our jobs, 20% of what we do adds 80% of the value. So we should focus on those 20% of the things that we do and let the other 80% go. And if we're being interrupted for the 80%, then shame on us.
So there's probably someone listening to this. They've heard you talk about sailing in the Caribbean and the Atlantic, and they're thinking, man, I'd love to do what Byron did, but there's just no way it's going to happen for me or my organization. What would you say in response?
Well, I would say find your passion. It doesn't have to be sailing. It could be fishing. It could be traveling. It could be anything. But find your passion, and that's part of your life. Enjoy your life along with your career. It's all part and parcel. I think Covey said, you can't pick up one side of the stick without the other. If you don't have a good personal life and adventure and fun in your life, how are you going to be able to succeed in your professional life? And so I would say to them, if that doesn't work in your organization, you may want to question that organization. But certainly find your passion and seek that out as much as you do your career. It will help you in both areas.
Byron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Neil.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.